It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Not the victory Monday we asked for on Friday when we signed off, but we didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't not cover anybody. We didn't not block anybody. Anyway, good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, all good. Andy Bunker, as like he said, it's not a non-victory Monday for the Falcons. It is a Falcons Monday.
Ass kicked.
But they
Monday.
Got their ass whipped yesterday, and there's no way to say it. They didn't do anything good. I mean, I'll go back, and I thought Bijan had more yards than he had. No, he didn't.
Nope.
It was just an illusion. He had a couple creases that he slipped through a couple times.
Well, and I do think maybe you saw some yards that got called back because of penalties.
And that was
so maybe
the biggest
it felt
thing.
Like, yeah.
They hurt themselves so early that they couldn't bounce back from it. Every time there was a big play to be had, it was a penalty. And so, you know, they just couldn't do it. I know they were down some people defensively, but still. Like, I don't think Bo Nix did anything special yesterday. Everybody was just open. Everybody was just wide the hell open, man, yesterday. And I think the microcosm of that whole game was, you know, you got a running back stopped at the 5-yard line. That was a great fit, everything by Simmons. Great fit, everything, held his ground.
And then they picked him up.
And there wasn't a damn Falcon in sight that was doing anything to put up any kind of resistance to that. And that was pretty much the whole game. Denver just got after Atlanta. From the get-go, man.
Yep.
It was bad. And they're talking about who wasn't here. Down to your third nickel, all that other crap. Still, I mean, this is the NFL. Like I said, I don't lost a lot of games. I don't ever remember getting, and I played on some bad football team. I don't remember getting just dismantled the way the Falcons did. Now, it probably was a game or something that I just probably can't think of. But, I mean, just the fact they just got outclassed. And then I said it yesterday, getting outclassed is one thing. But getting beat down by a guy who likes beating your specific organization down.
Yeah, Sean Payton took a little extra pleasure.
Extra in that right there.
In being able to deliver that that loss to the Falcons.
Yes.
It was from top to bottom, from beginning to end. Their first, and I was thinking about it on the first drive because we talked about it Friday, how easy it seems to be for opposing offenses early in the game to know what you're going to do defensively, have their first 15 scripted, go through what they want to do and score. They were like on their first 15 the whole game.
Yep.
Like they were within, I mean, they were in rhythm on every drive that they played the entire game. And you thought at some point, all right, they got their first drive. Maybe the Falcons will adjust like they have.
Nope.
No, there was no adjustments.
Nope.
The guys were wide open.
They didn't have to.
They didn't.
The Falcons didn't do anything. They didn't make any adjustments. Yeah, they didn't. And you know, it's the same old question we've been talking about. They can't rush the passer.
No.
They can't even affect the passer.
Nope.
Like, was Bo Nix, I mean, I know they had the one sack, and Judon, you know.
Judon whatever. Pushed the lineman into it.
And
it was a good play.
It was a hell of a play by Judon.
Play.
But where are these plays at? He stays blocked too damn long for me. That's my biggest thing with
Matthew Judon?
Yeah, he stays blocked too long for me. And so, but I mean, that's all of them. That's all of them. And then you saw they got Lamon into space, and that's not pretty.
Nope.
You know, that's not a pretty thing to do.
That man is good at defending the run.
Yep. They had him in space. And, I mean, that's just Sean Payton in his play designs and a defense that isn't putting up any resistance. That's exactly what I saw yesterday. The offense didn't play no better. You know, they didn't do anything well. Kirk Cousins was all right, but he wasn't great. You know, I think that my biggest thing, I said this a couple weeks ago, if they don't get Kyle going early, it's just a, it's like, whatever. And I know somebody tweeted me about the one play. He got to be decisive in where he's going in the zone coverage, man. You got to get there, find the open space, and present your numbers. And he just was lackadaisical on that route. But, I mean, all around, just was not – they were not able to get any rhythm going on offense, no matter what they tried. And so now you look back and you just got your butt whipped by a team that's playing better. They're playing better. They got you on the road, and now you got 2 weeks. It has to be – I don't know what the decisions and stuff are going to be made as far as benching. I don't think anybody's going to be benched. I saw this, like, is it time to go to Michael Penix? Like, really? Y'all there? Like, come on now. But I think defensively, what does Rod do? Does he take over play calling, but yet still – you know, the personnel is personnel.
Right. That's the thing is I'm sure that there's some, you know, some nitpicking that can be done as far as what Jimmy Lake is doing. And certainly he's going to get the brunt of it because he just gave up 38 points to Bo Nix.
Right.
Like that's what it's going to be. But if they fire him, they're not going to immediately have better pass rushers.
No.
They're not going to be healthier in the secondary.
That's what I'm about. You got to buy a week.
Yeah, you do.
You got to buy a week.
I guess they will be healthier coming off the bye week.
Yeah, you got to buy a week so you get some guys back.
The guys are the guys.
Yeah.
The guys, and that's the frustration about it is I think we knew and we've known throughout the year it was never as bad as it was yesterday in any of these games, but the limitation that this team has, the ceiling that this team has always been the defense.
Yeah.
The defense is just inability to be consistent at all. I know we were getting by with some splashy plays and turnovers here and there. To sort of sway games in your favor. But when those don't happen and you've got a quarterback like Bo Nix who takes care of the ball really well, you're not going to get those plays. Then how do you answer? Like, how do you win games like that? Well, obviously yesterday was a big they can't because they didn't. The problem I have is, like, look, the defense looked awful. You can't have a performance like that. Like, that's embarrassing. But you'd think the offense would be able to put up a fight and keep you in it.
You would think so.
And they just flat out didn't. Like, they just got nothing. And like you said, anytime they got anything remotely going, momentum-wise, they'd have a play to shoot themselves in the foot, and that would be that.
They got outed everything.
Out everything.
They got outplayed.
Hey,
they got outcoached.
Youngway didn't miss any field goals.
Oh, right.
There we go.
Yeah, they got out. They got out everything. Coach played, hell, probably the
physical,
anything that you
toughness. Could
in a football game that just says it, damn, I just got whipped.
Yeah.
That's what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Here's the thing for me is – sometimes there's wins that are so impressive that you kind of reassess maybe what a team is, right? You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know they could do that. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people were doing this, but it felt like that was happening a little bit after the Cowboys win. I don't know why. Cowboys aren't good. But that was like, all right, maybe the Falcons are capable of this. Well, back-to-back, terrible losses. I mean, the Saints loss still is just so unacceptable that you lost that game. And then just to get completely blown out by the Broncos, like those back-to-back losses, and especially yesterday, is so bad that maybe you have to reassess what a team is too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, all right, you can win the division, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, you got to hope maybe there's
something
beyond. I don't know. No. Absolutely, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Absolutely, I'm not sure.
All right.
Because it's not sewed up yet.
Yeah, because I was sure Friday.
It was 90-something percent before the Saints game. And then you blow that game, and then you lose yesterday. And now even the things that you thought that you were sure of get questioned. That's what I mean. Like yesterday's loss was so bad that even the things that you thought you were sure of get questioned. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
You have to reassess what you think about a football team after a loss
It's a bye week that, according to what happened yesterday, they couldn't come soon enough. You know, and now you have to reassess and do all
it's
the things.
It's a tough one to sit on.
It
for
is,
two
man.
Weeks.
It is. And we talked about it Friday. I said, you don't want to sit on a two-game bad losing streak over a bye week, man. It sucks. And that's what they got to do right now. And I understand, Ry, you come out with the statement after the game, this one loss isn't going to define this team. All right, I get it. You got to say what you got to say to the media and try to keep your team engaged. And I don't think that should be a problem. But, yeah, you got a lot of problems that I don't know if scheme, I don't know if replacing or anything like that can help you with that because of where you are as far as where your personnel is. Now, can you get some guys back that are contributing players that didn't get a chance to play yesterday, like Nickel and Troy Anderson and stuff like that? Yeah, hopefully you can get those guys back because, I mean, you know, you have this whole week off, and then if these guys need a couple extra days on the following week for a game week, who do they play next?
The Chargers.
Okay. And then you got a situation where, you know, you try to get that right because you need to get healthy because you're talking about a team that wants to beat you up.
Yeah. You think you got out physical
yesterday?
You think
you got out physical yesterday?
Yeah. Wait till Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers
come
to
town. Wait till them dudes come in here with them pot of blue and put their hand in the dirt.
I imagine a lot of people got a chance to see them on Sunday Night Football last night.
They tried to trick that off.
They did.
Ooh,
they did.
But
then they didn't.
But they did.
They won the game.
Like that.
And they're not bad.
No.
They're not great, but they're not bad. Better than Denver.
Yeah, they are. And now you go back and now you got to get ready for that. But yesterday was.
You know who they play after that?
No.
Vikings.
Okay.
In Minnesota.
So you're going against two smash mouth type teams.
Yeah.
You just got physically whipped yesterday. And so, yeah, that's why we can come at a better time. Get yourself healthy, try to get some bodies back, get your mind right, let your mind breathe whatever you want to, and try to come back and put together a game plan that's going to have to dictate you being able to be tough. You having to be strong. You having to bow your neck up because that's what kind of team the Chargers are. But back to yesterday, it was just everything was outed. The Falcons were out everything, like we said earlier. And it was just, it was just a raggedy-ass performance. It really, really was. But just sitting there watching the game, just like, ugh. They look like a really bad team.
Uh-huh.
They look really bad. They look like, I don't want to say look bad, like Jacksonville level bad.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Exactly.
That's what it looked like. And Jacksonville might fire their coach.
No. Ain't no Mike. He got to go.
Well, why? What are we waiting for? How's it 11 o'clock?
No, everybody at Jacksonville got to be fired.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know they got some coaches and everything like that.
Somebody's got to coach the
Somebody's
got
to coach the team. But no, Doug.
They gave up 675 yards of offense.
38 damn first downs.
I've never heard of 38 first downs before.
In an NFL game?
In an NFL football game. 38 first downs is like two good weeks.
Yes.
They put 38. But that's what we're talking about. That's what the Falcons look like against the Broncos. At least Jacksonville's playing the Lions. At least that's the best offense in football. At least they're the Super Bowl favorites. The Broncos are 6-5.
Mm-hmm. And so are the Falcons.
So are the Falcons.
Yeah.
So are the Falcons.
So are the Falcons.
Man, just a
come at you. Come at you fast.
Just a butt. He sure does.
Come at you fast.
Sure does. Wow. What a difference 8 days makes,
man.
Goodness gracious. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending. We'll get back into some of the good stuff that happened this weekend, most notably Saturday night in Athens. What a show. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. You know, it was our job to go out there and play with the guys that we have, and those guys went out there and gave me everything they had. I got to do a better job coaching. We got to do a better job playing. We got to do a better job in the organization, period.
Yeah, that's Raheem after the game yesterday. Said a number of things sort of similar to that. And again, said the right stuff. I'm not surprised to hear Raheem's not going to change his stripes because of that loss. He's going to be optimistic. He's going to take the blame. He's going to say that kind of stuff. I know there was some people that like, I want to hear him yell. It's not going to change it. It's not him.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, you think they're going to take some of those touchdowns away from the Broncos if he yells a little bit?
No.
Or give the Falcons a few more minutes on the clock to try to score? None of that matters.
The one thing about the league and when it comes to head coaches and players, the one thing we'll always know is you don't ever go outside of who you are.
Yeah. Right.
As a head coach and try to do something that – and Rod's not built like that. He's not going to do that. He's not going to go dog cussing and all those different things. It just don't work like that in this at this level. And so, yeah, I anticipate him saying all the right things and everything. It's a bye week, so I don't know how much access we get to him and players.
Yeah,
and
we probably won't hear from him again until next week
and everything like that. And so, I mean, but he, as the head coach, it's his responsibility. All that, what happened yesterday falls on him. Him being the head coach and his team coming out unprepared.
Yep.
You know, and his team just basically laying a damn egg on every aspect of it. I mean, outside of Youngway Koo bouncing back.
Youngway
bounced back.
2 for 2.
And everything like that. But, I mean, just every aspect of the football game yesterday was a complete and utter disaster for the Falcons.
Now, don't take this as me saying this is the reason, but I don't think that they'll be doing walkthrough Wednesdays
they will
anymore.
Not. Back-to-back Wednesday.
I think the walkthrough Wednesday thing probably is a thing of the past.
Let's strap the chin straps up.
Yeah, we're going to get out there.
Yeah, let's strap these chin straps
up. Play a little football because, again, I don't think that's why they lost either one of those games, but it certainly didn't help.
Exactly.
I
think that's the biggest thing. It didn't help.
Anything else to say? I mean, we'll obviously talk about the game throughout the day. I mean,
but
we'll get the phone lines open and all that. But, like, they're just – when you lose like that so thoroughly, there's just not that much to, you know.
There's not much to say.
They just got their butts kicked, man, from beginning to end. It's the first game in a long time that I've, like, clicked off of. And I was like, oh, the Chiefs-Bills game's pretty good.
I said, let's go watch this one. I was like, it's Epson. And then I went in the house. Because we were grilling everything yesterday, and so I went in the house. He had already changed the game.
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, never mind. Never mind, Sam. We here.
Yeah,
we here on this.
Yeah, we're one mind.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I wanted to see Penix, but I don't know.
I got to see his first couple throws.
I wanted to see if Josh Allen could beat Patrick Mahomes, and he did. That was a great game, by the way.
Whoa, boy!
What a game!
That dude, number 17.
He's
man.
A good player.
Yes, he is. And I love the thing we talked about last year before, and you said it so well. He's like, well, he makes $56 million. His window's always
open.
Windows open.
You
got
that guy. Windows closed. Yeah. Who did they lose? They lost who was the safety? Jordan Poyer.
Yeah, somebody like that.
No offense, but like. They got Josh Allen, man. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
That's a great example. We'll get back into all this stuff in the NFL No Huddle, but, like, that's a great example of when you go for it, right? Like, because they could have taken the points. They would have been up 5, but then you would have given Patrick Mahomes the ball with 2.5 minutes left, and you know what was going to happen if Patrick Mahomes got the ball down 5 with 2.5 minutes left.
Yep.
So they went for it on fourth down, and they went for it with the best possible play. Shotgun to Josh Allen, just let him go.
What?
And I didn't know he was going to score a touchdown.
Freaking run.
Yeah, it really was. Did you see? It reminded me a little bit, not quite the same thing, but a little bit. Did you see the end of the Clemson Pitt game?
Yes.
Klubnik goes 50
yards.
Just happened
to have it on. It went paying no. And then I was like, damn, Pitt's still in this damn game.
Yeah. And then they kicked the field goal, and I was like, all right, Pitt.
That's a wrap.
Because, the crowd was going nuts. Looked like a beautiful day up there in Pittsburgh. And then Klubnik takes it 50 yards to the house.
He was gone.
Win the game.
He got out
past that first level, and there was nobody back there. Yeah, that was a nice win by Clemson. All right. Let's talk about the nicest win on Saturday. That was the Georgia Bulldogs with just a thorough, impressive bounce back, if you want to call it that, whatever. But just a thorough, impressive, really top tier win from them on Saturday night. Here's Kirby.
Acts out that we had some plays for him, and sometimes you gotta man up. I texted him early in the week and said, "If we do this, are you down with it?" And he said, "I'm gonna get it, coach. Just give me the ball."
Who's that?
I don't know.
No, I know it's Kirby. He's talking about.
No, I know. I don't know. They're talking about Carson Beck. Oh, okay. Carson Beck running a little bit.
Oh, okay.
There you go. He did.
And I don't know how many of those were designed because the touchdown run, the depth tackle got beat inside.
Yeah.
And Carson, they were man to man. Luckily, they had their backs turned. Great run by Carson. But what got Carson going was that other scramble when he trucked dude.
He trucked the dude.
That's
when I knew Carson Beck was okay because it would be very easy for somebody to lose confidence given the way the season's gone for him. He trucked the guy and he got up and did one of those nose wipe first down things.
And the first thing I said was, man, get your ass back in the huddle.
I was like, you got a lot of nerve.
I was like, get your ass
doing
back
all
in the
that
huddle
with
get,
the way you've been playing.
Get your ass back in the huddle.
But
let's go.
Also, great. Like, he's still cocky and confident. Like, you want your quarterback to be, given the way that things have gone this year. And he played awesome on Saturday.
What did we say? Those five guys and 15.
Yes.
No sacks.
Yes.
Couple pressures.
Yeah.
No sacks.
Yep.
And he was able to go out there and he put the ball where it needed to be. Sometimes it was caught because, damn it, I mean, you start the game again, perfect play, perfect throw, and a damn another drop. Like
Same guy.
Perfect throw, perfect everything, and then they dropped. They still can't run the damn ball, but they tried to run it. 31 carries.
Yeah.
But they at least
Frazier was tough, though. He's a tough runner. He's going to
get out of there sooner or later. Yeah. That's how he runs and everything like that. But I thought, yeah, Carson Beck was outstanding. No interceptions. And I thought, you know, and I told you I was ready to play hell because watching them damn tight ends go, man, I was like, hell yeah, Oscar.
Yeah.
Where the hell has that been at?
Where's even the targets been? So much creativity, too. I don't know if it was the first touchdown or the second touchdown where they lined him or they lined Lawson Lucky up at left tackle.
Yes.
And they had the offensive lineman like split out.
Yeah. I mean,
and Tennessee's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I mean, they totally confused him.
That's the play we scored with Frazier against Ole Miss.
Okay.
That was that play.
Okay.
So they fake the toss and then Oscar gets open in the back of the end zone. But yeah, I was like, I want to go play now, man. I watched these tight ends get the rock the way they did. Then I sat my old ass back down. But
tight ends went 10 catches for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, man. I was so excited to watch them. But I thought that then the defense finally got together and they were able to, because I mean, Sampson is a bad boy. That one, the touchdown run was just great. But that damn run, he got like 6 yards when we had him 7 yards in the backfield and him miss everybody, find the crease and almost score. And I thought Georgia, second half, they locked everything down defensively. And they got after him. They rushed up Nico and everything, eventually end the game on a fumble.
Yep.
But I thought overall Georgia just played tough, man. And I thought the biggest play of the game that kind of, you know, if it don't happen, I don't know what happens in the outcome. I still think we win. But that damn punt.
Oh,
and
man.
The punter.
What a tackle.
Yeah. Because if he don't tackle, he's gone.
You kidding me?
Yeah, like, he's gone.
Like, that wasn't – sometimes punters, like, usher guys out of bounds, right? Sometimes they get in the way. Brett Thorson walked that dude down.
Yes, that might be a touchdown.
It would have been a touchdown. Yeah. He was the only guy there. And, like, he had the angle on him. That was incredible, man.
Yeah.
Because that would have made it what? That would have been 17-0
or something,
or
like
14-0.
One of them.
Either way, like Tennessee got off to a great start.
They did.
Something we talked about on Friday was they never get off to great starts. That is not what Tennessee does.
They got off to a great start.
And for them to do that and got off to a great start, Georgia answered, and then Dylan Sampson scores that touchdown to make it 17-14. I was like, all right, game on.
Yes.
Like Tennessee is game, and turned out.
But I was like, okay, Kirby, don't sit on this. Okay, they score. He's like, we got time. Let's go see if we can get some points.
For sure.
If he hits Dylan Bell, just make that catch. But, yeah, I thought Carson was outstanding. I thought they played well. The biggest thing is they protected him. I know there was a couple leakages. You saw the change in the offensive line. That was another big thing because Georgia's been shuffling damn linemen through the injury and due to some other crap where they just like to play everybody. They stuck with the 5 guys. Obviously, the starting left tackle was replaced by another guy. And again, he played pretty good outside of – even though Carson did score on the play, you know, he got beat this – cleanly inside. Mm-hmm. And Carson obviously avoids it, runs it in for the touchdown. And I just thought, you know, just good for Georgia. They showed up.
Yep.
And I thought that was the biggest thing. If they show up and play like they're capable of playing. Now, this still is a very flawed team, but at the same time, they showed why they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, the thing is, everyone is,
yes.
I think. You know, it's a year where there's so much parity at the top. Like, I mean, Georgia beats Tennessee by 2 touchdowns at home. Tennessee beat Alabama at home. Alabama beat Georgia at home. You know what I mean?
Like, it's crazy.
It kind of depends on who has the home field advantage and who has a few things break their way in that game. It's just, I mean, Oregon needed to hang on by the skin of their teeth at Wisconsin on Saturday night. I mean, BYU lost, so they're out as an undefeated. Like, there isn't a lot of separation. I don't really think there's any separation, really. Maybe there's 6 teams or 7 teams that I feel like are on that level up top. Georgia's one of them. And then there's maybe 3 or 4 teams that are one tier below, and that's the playoff.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yep.
That's what it is.
And so that'd be interesting because we said – because they still got 2 more games from my Georgia. They got to play UMass, and definitely – and I just realized – I keep forgetting that the damn Tech game's on a Friday.
I know.
And so you got Tech who –
probably because you don't want it to be.
That could be it. And because, I mean, you got a team obviously Tech, rivalry, all those different things. Good football team that poses problems because the quarterback's ability to run the football.
Yep.
And so you got to get ready for that. But, yeah, just a great – all-around team win for the Dogs, and it was good to see Carson Beck play well.
Yeah.
It was good to see Carson Beck play well. He made some throws. He started
off a little rough with some incompletions, but that first touchdown throw was a dime.
Oh, my God. Can't throw a better cover two inside seam by the right over the damn linebacker's head. Great catch by Oscar. I thought the play to 16, I mean, great catch, great play. Carson put it right in his – I don't think he reached for the ball. It looked like it just stuck in his arm. Carson threw it so damn hard.
Yeah, because if it's off by an inch, that's an interception.
He threw the hell out of that damn ball, man, and so they were able to get the win. I know it's always going to be complaints. I see Tennessee fans talking about penalties and the play to Oscar dealt was the fumble was a fumble, like whatever. It happens.
I mean, the Falcons game, I mean, that wasn't a catch. They reversed it and called it a catch and a fumble. I never seen anything like that.
Like, what?
Clearly didn't catch it.
Yeah, man.
On the field. And then they review it, and I guess he recovered it. I guess he recovered his own fumble. It's like, yeah, no, it's a first down. That was 4th and 3, and again, Falcons didn't score any touchdowns.
None.
In the second half.
Zilcho!
So we're not going to sit here and complain much about that, but it was a bad call. It was a bad call by the officials on that one. The Hawks lost to the Blazers last night. Very weird basketball game. Hawks had a big lead, then they had a big deficit, and then they came back and made it interesting. And then they lost 114 to 110. They beat the Wizards on Friday.
Their nemesis.
They beat their nemesis Friday. I guess Netflix was having some streaming issues on Friday night.
Yeah, because me and Donna, we went out on Friday night. Went out and hung out and everything, got back late. And so I was like, well, we're up. Let's just turn it on. And then all of a sudden it just started buffering. And then it went back and everything. And obviously the fight went on. And it was just like I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It was awful. I'm not surprised. My only thing waking up Saturday morning to like people saying, oh, it's the end of an era. Like Mike Tyson ain't been relevant as far as boxing people in the ring
since
when?
Yeah.
Like, come on. This man had blood transfusion. Like, this was going to look like this. That's why I was like, what the hell? What did we thought Mike was going to be like Iron Mike?
It's like if he punched him once hard in the first round, maybe.
Maybe.
But also, like, again, I didn't watch it.
Oh, my God.
Talking about it being scripted and whatever.
It was.
Maybe it was.
It was crap.
I hope it was.
Yeah.
Because Mike got $20 million.
That's all that matters.
And tricked 65 million people into watching it.
But that was my only thing. I was like, I saw, like, oh, the end of an
million?
Era. Oh, I can't watch this. Like, Mike was going to get beat up. This dude is younger, bigger. He does take boxing serious. Whether we want to talk about the shams and everything, the dude can box. But, yeah, I was never, like, thinking that, oh, God, this is going to be some great all-timer.
Saw Mike Tyson's ass, though.
And that was the funniest thing of the show because we were actually watching it.
So that happened.
We were actually watching it, Andy, when it happened. That was a funny thing.
Oh, you had it on at that point?
Yeah. And so, like... I said only Mike Tyson.
I was watching Washington and UCLA, and all of a sudden my timeline's just filled with Mike Tyson's ass.
Hey, dude, that's all I said. It's like, God dog it.
Oh. Well, at least something funny happened, you know?
Yeah, man.
But I won't say something good came of it. But.
That man could have knocked Mike out. Mike didn't have no legs. Well, if you ever come in a boxing match, you got a knee sleeve on.
It's like, do people not know many 58-year-olds? Like,
yeah.
Don't you have some 58-year-olds in your life? No offense to anybody out there driving around 58 right now, but like, you know.
I got a damn knee sleeve on, man.
You probably don't quite pack the same punch as you did when you were in your mid-20s.
I was glad Mike didn't get hurt. That was all there. I didn't want Mike to get hurt, man. But yeah, it was crazy.
What a waste of time.
It was crazy.
What a joke. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to some of the other college football Saturday. It was a pretty fun day. I mean, obviously, there weren't a ton of top matchups, but some pretty fun performances. The college football playoff is starting to take shape. Don't look now, but Colorado's playing awesome. Colorado's playing really good football. All right, we'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This sounds like Sanford Stadium.
Yeah, man.
On Saturday night.
Yeah.
They heard us.
Yeah, man.
We were making fun of them for playing Ray Charles.
I like that song.
I love that song.
Love that song.
I love that song. It's a great song. One of its all-time great songs.
All time.
It just might not be the best song to get you fired up to play football in 2024.
Yeah.
Sounds like they. I heard Josh Brooks, the AD, on the station earlier today. Yeah, it's like they heard you.
Yeah.
they heard Kirby and the fans and everybody talking about it. Yeah, all right, let's get the in-stadium atmosphere a little bit more up to date, a little bit more energetic, and maybe it'll help. I don't know how much that had to do with the game on Saturday night. I think Georgia's just better than Tennessee, but God, certainly didn't hurt.
Damn it. Russie just sent us something. UMass just fired their coach, Don Brown. You remember Don Brown?
Oh, the D coordinator.
Oh, hell
yeah. New coach energy.
New coach energy at Sanford Stadium. God, okay.
I don't remember Don Brown. Tell me about him.
He was the D.C. for Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah, he was D.C. for Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, but
how long has he been at UMass?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, he could have just – I don't know how long he was in there.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now. He's been there for a little while.
At UMass?
Yeah, like, no. Yeah. For 2 years.
But, yeah, I mean.
They'd had enough.
Had enough of them.
How do you get fired after 2 years
at UMass? At UMass. Danny Isabella ain't coming.
I guess 3 years. This is his third year. They went 1-11. That's not good. 3-9, and now they're 2-6.
Okay, so, yeah. That's a fireball effect. Yeah.
No, and he had been there before. It's his second stint at UMass.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. He coached them in the early 2000s. Had a good run then.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Wow. Okay, well, new coach energy coming into Sanford Stadium, so they're going to really have to ramp up the atmosphere when UMass comes to town. Hey, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. As we get back into Saturday, and talk about what Georgia did against Tennessee and then some of the other games as well. I think you said it, some of the plays of the game that sort of stand out to you. Certainly Carson Beck going on that run early in the game, trucking the defender, getting up, everybody's fired up, seemed like it set the tone in the building. Here he is talking about it.
And I don't know. It kind of woke me up, you know, get hit a little bit. Yeah. But no, I thought it might have juiced us up a little bit. I mean, it was a good little run. So
it did.
I think it did.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They fed off of it, and you know, I think, and you know what, it was good because there was a couple guys playing that you haven't seen play, mm-hmm. and then the one kid that people were telling me about, number two, Nitro.
Nitro Tuggle.
I was like, oh, that's the young man that people keep talking about. Like, yeah. He's going to be a really good player mm-hmm. once he learns and all those other things. It was so good to see him out there and everything. But, yeah, I think that kind of got him going, got the offense going. And, obviously, Carson, I mean, the throws, you talked about already, the touchdown pass to Oscar Delp, the first one. I mean, you can't throw any better than that.
Just a perfect throw.
You can't throw any better than that. The seam route to Dominic Leavitt for him to jump up mm-hmm. and before the defender turned around. I mean, you just saw the throws that NFL scouts talk about with Carson. You saw it, and it was on full display. And a lot of it had to be where they protected him, Andy. They protected him. They gave him time to throw the football. I thought Bobo was in his bag.
Yeah.
I thought Bobo was in his bag totally. On Saturday night. And it's amazing when your quarterback is not turning the ball over and they're blocking for him, the plays that you're able to call.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like those things go hand in hand a little bit?
I know he fumbled the ball, but we got it back. But even the perimeter throw to Aaron Smith, we talked about the perimeter block. Blocked perfectly. Mm-hmm. Aaron scoops through there now. He fumbles the ball, but he does get it back. And he's such a good kid.
Who?
Aaron Smith. Good, just upstanding young man.
I'm sure he is.
But boy, is he frustrating.
His hands.
Boy, is he frustrating. He made a nice grab on one of them. You know, everything was covered. He comes back to the football. Makes a great catch. Carson makes a great throw.
Well, and that's what's so frustrating about it is because he'll make great plays. Like, he's got all the talent in the world.
Yeah, man. He's Featherstone.
Yeah.
From Necessary Rough.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Featherstone. Oof. I mean, but yeah. But, yeah, frustrated player. And, you know, if they can get more consistent with the run game, you know, that'll help them out a lot, too. But, I mean, for them to go in and get the win, because Tennessee was game, and they started fast and everything like that. But I thought Georgia just kept chopping away, made some adjustments, and then were able to corral a lot of the stuff they were doing as far as especially running the football, because Sampson is a bad boy. That's a bad boy running the football for Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's a good team.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a tough environment to come into against a good team, and they put up a good fight, and Georgia ended up beating them,
mm-hmm.
as Georgia is going to do to a lot of teams in that situation. I'm interested to see how all this stuff is sort of viewed now that there's so many teams with two losses.
Right.
Like, Georgia's obviously going to jump up back into the top 10 after beating Tennessee on Saturday night. But how far should Tennessee fall?
Exactly.
They got the same record. Well, they played well.
Hell, we fell nine damn spots.
Right. They fell nine spots.
We fell nine spots.
For losing to a good Ole Miss team at Ole Miss.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know how far.
And that was probably, you know, the football that was played Saturday night is the most important thing. But I love what Kirby said in the post game interview on the field. They asked him, how do you think the committee's going to view you? He goes, I don't know. I don't know what they think. Yeah. They don't know what they think.
Yeah, they don't.
that's a good point.
Stop looking at that spreadsheet and actually watch the grass.
Yeah, they don't.
You know?
They're completely inconsistent. Nothing should tell you how inconsistent they are more than Georgia falling 9 spots just for losing that game. Tennessee's not going to fall that far for losing to Georgia, by the way. Similar score, on the road, all that kind of stuff. But the fact that Penn State is ranked above Indiana right now, like Indiana's undefeated and they play in the same conference.
Mm.
Penn State lost.
Mm.
Like, so, all right.
Yep. And I mean, and this is a big one this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a big one this weekend up there.
It's a must win for Indiana.
Yes.
Because they're already telling you what they think of you undefeated by ranking you behind a one-loss
team. We talked about this Friday, Bunk, and I was saying that I could see Tennessee just whoosh, if they lose this game because
they could.
Because of how people view them as, and you said it perfectly, how Penn State is still in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, yeah, they're in a situation where they can slip and fall up out of here. Love what they did to their head coach, gave him the extension Saturday morning. Loved it. Going to get you. Hey, might as well lock them up.
Yeah. I love what he said, too. He said, why would I go anywhere? We're the emerging power in college football.
Hell yeah.
It's the right thing to say.
Hell yeah.
That's the thing. You're talking about Indiana.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't believe that.
Yeah, but so what? He does, and they do.
Yep.
Like, this guy, all he does is talk blank.
Yes.
Like, when he got hired and he took the mic at the basketball game and started talking about how everybody sucks.
Yes.
He's like, Purdue sucks. We're going to beat them. And they do, by the way. Purdue's awful.
Oh,
he's like,
God.
Michigan sucks. Their time's over. Ohio State sucks.
like he came out.
All right, coach.
He came in that thing with all chest.
Yeah, man.
He came in there with all chest, man.
And again, like, you laugh at it if they're 4-6 right now. They're 10-0.
Yep.
They're 10-0.
And they're beating the hell out of everybody.
Beating the hell out of everybody. And they get to go to Ohio State this weekend. If they beat Ohio State, then, it's the story of the year in college football. It already is one of the stories of the year in college football. I just hope that if they play awesome against Ohio State and Ohio State beats them, because Ohio State's also very good, might happen.
Yes, they are.
Like, if they beat them, you know, like the Oregon game, 33-32, whatever it is, but it's a game like that, I hope that that earns Indiana more respect than they're getting. Because we talked about this last week. Brand name, unfortunately, is so much a part of this thing. Like, you just get more credit when you're one of the blue bloods, and you have a harder time proving it when you're not. They certainly aren't one of them. So it sucks to say that a 10-0 team who's in a Power 4 conference has a must-win game at the end of the season like this. But it feels like that because of the brand.
It does not seem like they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
It doesn't.
It does not seem that they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame just benefited of the doubting their way, hanging out, 9-1.
Do they win?
Yeah, they always win.
Yeah, they win, except for against Northern Illinois.
Except for against Northern Illinois, who's not very good, by the way.
If Notre Dame was...
Like, Northern Illinois is not even going to go to a bowl game.
I know, but I'm saying if Notre Dame was undefeated, they'd probably be number 2 in the country, wouldn't they?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'd still be number 6. Like,
maybe.
They just like to keep them there, you know? It kind of doesn't really matter what they do. They just kind of get to be there. LSU lost again.
They got absolutely destroyed by Florida.
They got destroyed. And they obviously, look, man, it's been, they were up 17-7 on Texas A&M in the third quarter a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And then everything changed.
Yes.
Their quarterback, Nussmeier, threw a pick in that game. A&M put in their running quarterback, and 10 straight quarters of running quarterbacks in LSU has been embarrassed.
Still
I don't know what they do. Like,
I mean,
because you know what the chatter is now.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you go 6-4 in your third year at LSU.
Like, it just don't seem like he has the pulse for his team, man. And I mean, I think he's a good football coach.
I do too.
I just don't know if that was, and I said this when it happened, I don't know if this is going to be a good fit.
It's a weird fit.
It's a weird
fit. It always was a weird fit. But look, when you can win your way out of a weird fit.
Yes.
But there wasn't going to be a lot of benefit of the doubt for him there just because, like you said, it's just kind of like, I don't know, man. Does that guy really belong in Baton Rouge? Like, doesn't really make sense. Now, Ed Orgeron couldn't be a better fit.
Oh, God.
And they got rid of him. So I don't know how much fit has to be.
Well, I think the one thing with Ed Orgeron, obviously the voice and all that.
Yeah.
He had Joe freaking Burrow as quarterback.
Yeah,
all right, and that helped him. He's been an average quarterback coach everywhere he's been. He's a great recruiter.
Yeah,
average head coach. His record shows it. Then you get Joe Burrow, just like Gene Chizik.
Andrew
Martinez. Average coach.
Andrew Martinez.
You get there.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and then like Gene Chizik. He's an average damn football coach. But you know what happened? Cam Newton fell in his lap.
Yeah,
you know, just like maybe Jimbo Fisher's. Jameis Winston
was quite good in college.
And so, when you have a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, it's easy to win championships and make you look smarter than you really are.
Yes.
But, it was a great game. And we talked about early Colorado. They wanted to play with their food later on in the game and give Utah credit. That young quarterback found him a little groove.
Yeah, he did. Is that Zach Wilson's brother?
Yes.
Okay. Because it looks just like him, and his last name's Wilson.
I think. But he found his groove later on in the game, and they made a comeback. But obviously, every time he tried to cut it close, Colorado answered.
Yep.
And Shadur was great. Obviously, the first play of the game, he's pressured. He doesn't get everything on the ball, intercepted and everything. But the defense held. The defense came up with timely stops, timely sacks every time they needed to. And, you know, I know that Travis didn't have the game he wanted as far as yardage. But the fourth down play, it's like, okay, I know he's covered by two guys. I'm just going to throw it up here. Damn if I do or damn if I don't. And for him, Travis just went up over two people.
Yeah, he just dunked on everyone.
And caught it.
Because he's the best athlete in college football.
And just went and got it.
Yeah.
And he was like, damn, he had the interception.
He's so good.
I mean, then he had a touchdown reception.
It's so fun watching him play.
He's a really fun player to watch. In Colorado, I mean, they're really, really a lot better late in day than last year. Their offensive line's playing better. Now, the freshman tackle had a rough one. But when he made blocks, they were able to run the football. I thought that was key for them to run the football down the stretch. But, yeah, they're right there in the mix.
Yeah, here's their deal. They got Kansas, and that's at Arrowhead. Now, Kansas is a Giant Slayer now.
I'm talking about, dog.
Kansas beat BYU, knocked off their undefeated season.
BYU tricked that game off, though.
Yes.
BYU tricked the game off. I mean, Kansas, they won the game. But
that game, by the way, and I know it was on late, nobody watched it, why would you? That game sucked. It was a horrible football game to watch. I only watched it because I wanted to see if I was going to be right.
BYU.
I turned out to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, BYU tricked that game off. But Kansas beat Iowa State the week before that, too, who's a good football team. So, look, I think Colorado is going to beat them because they're better than Kansas. But Kansas is a sneaky little matchup right now.
And then
they got Oklahoma State to close it out. So Colorado's probably going to be in the Big 12 championship game.
They control their own destiny.
They control their own destiny.
But the game of Saturday was that South Carolina-Missouri game.
Oh, man.
What a freaking game.
Dude, I love South Carolina.
Dude, that's just a fun
game. So fun to watch.
I'm trying, who has more big games at home this year, South Carolina or Arkansas? Because it always seems like these two are at home playing against big name opponents.
By the way, Arkansas didn't win that game, but they gave Texas all they could handle.
They did.
And that's the thing about Texas.
They
I'm not trying to poo-poo Texas, whatever. They got a great record. Mm-hmm. But they're not super impressive.
No.
They haven't done anything all that impressive.
And if Wisconsin has a quarterback, they beat Oregon.
I know.
If Wisconsin had a quarterback, they beat them.
Yeah,
they beat Oregon.
And for people that didn't watch
Dan
Lanning.
Can't help him.
Now, I'll say this. Look, he's true to himself. Like, he's going to be consistent and do the things that he does, which you want. Like, you got to be yourself.
Yeah.
But they're up 16-13. They're in the red zone. It's fourth down. They kick the field goal. They go up six. I mean, Wisconsin can't move the football, so the game would have been over. They get into a field goal formation, and they fake it. They don't get it. They go for a fake field goal it wouldn't have put them up two scores, so I understand the difference between three and six, whatever. But, like, they don't get it. Dan Lanning cannot help himself going for it in situations like that. Now, luckily, their defense held. Wisconsin just has nothing on offense. But Oregon was due one of those.
Yes.
Because they had been blowing everybody out ever since they became the number one team in the country. They had to sweat a little bit out there in Camp Randall, and they still got it. So
that's
credit
to them. Most important thing, though, they found a way to win the football game. And, you know, they just keep on winning. And they are a good football
winning.
Team. Their defense is lights out, man.
Yeah.
Their defense.
They got a lot of guys on defense.
Yeah, man.
A lot of NFL guys on defense.
A lot of NFL, a lot of fast dudes.
One game left, though. They're not perfect yet, Randy.
Who they got? Who's left on the schedule?
You know who they got.
Oh, the damn Huskies.
Huskies, who, by the way, bowl eligible. Didn't think we'd be celebrating bowl eligibility after being in the national championship game last year. But like you said in the first segment, life comes at you fast.
It does, dog. It does. Because I know this time last year, boy, we were – Washington was the deal. Now
they were the talk of the town.
Yeah. Now they're just talking.
Now, yeah. I don't know what town. That little ESPN matchup predictor thing.
Uh-huh.
That's got Oregon with an 88% chance of winning the game.
Things can happen.
12's fine. 12% is fine.
Where y'all playing at?
It's in Autzen.
Oh, okay.
Tough stadium, tough environment.
Y'all beat them. I know Michael Pittis was quarterback.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Penix and Nix yesterday back on the field against each other.
Damn.
That doesn't count against Penix's permanent
record.
No,
it does not.
He didn't start the game. It doesn't count. All right, we'll come back and talk about that, though. Why did Michael Penix play the final 8 minutes of the game for the Falcons yesterday? That's how bad it was. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.